Wow, that's a hard act to follow. I'm blown away every week by the words that we sing, by coming into the throne of our King, our Lord. Do you believe what we've just sung about? Do you know it? Right? We sang amazing songs that maybe you knew them, maybe you didn't, but the words were powerful, and the most powerful words that we could sing or say: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? It's just so simple and so easy that children can believe, children can trust, and children can know. Yet we plumb the depths of his word trying to understand, and it's a miracle. This great mystery, not the title today, it's ministry. It says the ministry of the gospel. We are talking about the mystery, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but this is Life Together in Christ, number 19, as we trek through the book of Ephesians. I want to read the verses again in New Living Translation. Thank you, John, for reading them in the ESV earlier. Ephesians 3, 7 through 10 read, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." Let's pray. Father, we come to your throne once again in the humble act of prayer. Father, confessing that it's with heavy hearts, knowing the news, the world that we face each day. Lord, the hurt and the brokenness, the wars, the strife, the disagreements, the misunderstandings. Lord, we come into your presence needing you. And so we bow, we humble ourselves, and we seek you first. We confess that we are a sinful people. And we confess that we know that you love us because you sent Jesus. We know because we have your word and we have each other. Lord, we can experience, we can know beyond any doubt how much you love us. Even though it's hard and sometimes we struggle with it, let your Holy Spirit reign in us. Let your Holy Spirit reign down on us and move in and among and through us as we love you because you first loved us. Thank you that you have called us to be adopted heirs in your kingdom. And you've given us this incredible message that we can declare to the entire world, that Jesus loves me and Jesus loves them. Help us to be the people you created to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, four thoughts this morning. The first is the heart of service, or being a servant. I wanted to say it that way. because we are talking a lot lately about service, about servanthood, about leadership in the church, in the body of Christ. And so this is fresh on our hearts and our minds. This comes from verse 7. Paul wrote, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading his good news." So the first idea here is service is a privilege, not a burden. Paul doesn't see his ministry as a have-to, but a get-to. And I identify with that. I get the privilege of serving you. It's an honor. It's a humbling experience. Sometimes it's challenging. Maybe because I'm a little rough and need my rough parts sanded off. Maybe it's because some of you are rough and you need your rough parts sanded off. And we're sometimes scraping together, but that's iron sharpening iron, right? That's what we are intended to do. But Paul here in these verses says, even in chains, remember when he wrote this, he was probably chained to a Roman guard. He sees privilege, an opportunity. And he focuses on the source of his call. He says it is by God's grace and mighty power, not his own talent or his own ambition. In everything we do, we agree with Paul. He rightly gives God all the credit. And I pray that if you hear anything that I say today, you will hear that God gets all glory and all honor, all power and dominion, because it's all about him and not about me and not about you. Right? Paul's making sure we understand that. He wrote in 11:36 of Romans, "For everything comes from him, God, and exists by his power, and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." And then the call and the commission, I want to speak to that briefly. The call, service, servanthood, leadership in the church, in the body of Christ, must always begin with God and begin with a call. So in all of our documents that we're writing, in all of the interviews we say, even the interview for baptism, right, or church membership, is what is the Lord saying to you, right? What do you feel God is calling you to at this point? The commission, I'm just going to speak briefly to a couple of points. The general call, okay, Matthew 28:18-20. I'm a retired missionary, right? We have missionaries in the room. What does it say? Go as you're going, make disciples, right? So is there anybody in the kingdom of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, who is not commissioned to do that? No. We all have the call, the commission. We are given the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit comes upon you at the moment of salvation, when we receive the eternal presence, the abiding Spirit of God, we will be witnesses, right? And this isn't a message about evangelism, though that's an essential part. The specific call is teaching people to know him, to obey him, as Matthew 28 reads. So this week in the Weekly Word, I wrote my beginning. And I stated in there that there's not enough time to go through all the history. And believe it or not, I'm not going to do it here either. But as I was looking at Paul's journey, preparing for this, I thought, okay, I'll look back. In September of 1980... I had just returned from a youth camp in northern New Mexico. And during an invitation at the end of the service, we were all standing. I remember I was in the back, which was unusual because I'm a PK, right? PKs always sit on the front, preacher's kid. But I was sitting in the back, and I heard God call. I want you to be my minister. is the basic message. And I said, okay. The song that was being sung was "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," right? And so I was hearing that. I was sensing his call and his presence. I went down front because it was an invitation. And I spoke to the leader, whoever was leading that service, I don't remember. And they said, go home and tell your church. So I went home to my little country church in Edgewood, New Mexico, and told them, I feel the Lord calling me to serve him, full-time Christian ministry. And so, believe it or not, I was 16 years old, and that church affirmed that calling through prayer, and it took a while, but I was licensed to the gospel ministry in September of 1980, and that was 46 years ago, which blows me away, and I only say that because as I was looking at Paul, I thought, wow, okay, my life could be compared with a life of service. And when I thought of a life of service, I thought of Downton Abbey. You all watched the show Downton Abbey, right? And you start out in the very bottom as a footman, right? And you do the things, because that's what I did. The church that I was at could not pay me to lead the music, which I started doing, but they could pay me to clean the church. So I was the janitor and the music director. And I continued that pattern for several years in several churches because these are little bitty community churches in New Mexico. But little by little, you know, you grow and you're given more responsibility, more opportunity. And it's a training time. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue to serve. You know, we move from footman maybe to butler. You know, I became Carson at some point. I don't think so. But it's all not in the service of the Crawley family, but in the King of Kings, right? When we serve the Lord, we serve the one and true God. So I'll move off of that. I wanted to put up here, there's a lot of information up there, but I just want you to see that tracing the timeline of Paul is a fascinating exercise because it helps us see the long game God played in his life, much like my own journey from a janitor and a music director all the way to a missionary and now your pastor here in Madrid. You can just look at these are basically his history, where we get the information from. But there are some observations I want you to know, that the gap years are the decade between his conversion in 33 AD or 34 AD and his first major missionary journey in AD 47. You know, like my time leading music and janitor work, Paul had a long season of hidden preparation before the world actually saw his ministry. And even writing that sentence, I thought, well, preparation is ministry. And ministry is preparation. God always calls us to something that we can't quite do on our own, right? And that's that beautiful relationship with him. We're not supposed to do this on our own flesh, right? And if we try, we bring a lot of chaos. We bring a lot of hurt. And so we must trust in the Lord, but he's always growing us for something else. And that's part of what we have a mantra here at Emmanuel Madrid. You may only be here for a short time. And we take it our responsibility to encourage, to teach, to train you so that when the Lord moves you on to the next place, you are better than when you came. Right? That's our heart and our goal. Paul's heart was always set on the West. In Romans 15, he expressed a desire to come here. And unfortunately, history says his life was ended in Rome. My major professor in my bachelor's, Dr. McCoy, we don't know how Paul died or where he died, and he thinks he might have actually gotten away and ended up in Spain. Who knows? We'll leave that to the historians. But the final display here is even in his Roman imprisonment, Paul's focus was on the heavenly realm and the enduring gospel, the very themes that we are looking at here in Ephesians chapter 3, actually the whole book. And so let's move to the message. The unsearchable riches, one version puts it. This is from verse 8. Though I am the least deserving, okay? And Paul at times probably struggled a little bit with humility and pride. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He was what we could call an alpha dog. And sometimes he got into genealogies and, you know, who's the best of the best. But he always humbled himself and said, I'm the least. I'm the greatest of sinners, right? But he says here, though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave to me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures, that unsearchable riches, I like endless treasures, available to them in Christ. So the humility of the message is that Paul calls himself the least deserving. A true minister, a true person who is serving the Lord, never loses their sense of wonder that God would use them. It blows me away when I think about my story, that God, in his infinite wisdom, and sometimes I say a little bit of humor, right, would bring me here for this season, for this time, to partner with you so that we can work together to become who I'm supposed to be, who you're supposed to be, and who we are together. Think about the infinite resources, okay? We talk about Revelation or Genesis to Revelation. We aren't just sharing a set of rules. We are offering endless treasures or unsearchable riches, as some say. So I want you to think about this book right here, the Bible, the Word of God. I've got some thoughts up here. It is true, the truth. We hold in our hands the truth of God, just like it fell out of heaven, and we hold it with holy and honorable hands, and we read it with humility and respect. It's real, right? The Bible speaks to real life and to our real circumstances. It's accessible, right? Jesus loves me, this I know. Even a child can understand the truth of the gospel. Yet, it's so deep that no matter how many years you and I study, right, David? We'll never understand the depths of the riches of God. There's nothing on earth like it. No other philosophy, no other idea, no other religion, right? It is the Word of God given to us, and it is eternal life now. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give is light," from Matthew 11:30. So what are some of the treasures? I remember I talked to you about the, you could build a gratitude list. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings, because there are thousands of blessings in here. But what are just a few of these secret treasures that we know? Peace that passes understanding, right? In a world of chaos and war and heartache, heartbreak, we can know peace. Because Jesus is peace. 1 John 4:18, John wrote, "Perfect love casts out all fear." Another treasure we can know is total forgiveness of sin. And I know sometimes that's hard to believe. How can God love me so much that he washes my sins away so that they are as far as east is from west? I am totally spotless because of Jesus. total and complete forgiveness of sin. We can walk in peace because we have forgiveness of sin. And what does all this mean? Adoption into the family. You and I are heirs to the kingdom, the good news. We have this secret, right? That's no longer a secret. It's good news. So we burst out in joy, singing and praising and yelling and telling people, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then, as we were praying earlier, the indwelling, the presence of the Holy Spirit. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you carry with you the almighty glory of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. So I've been listening a lot lately to Dallas Willard. He's a wonderful man, gone now. He's in heaven with the Lord. But I put this quote up because it's the aim of following Christ is that we should come to the place where we are routinely and easily walk in the character and power of Christ. So we are entering in chapter 3 into the depths of the treasures of this gospel, this good news. And we are going to continue to mine these nuggets. And so I want you to be prepared and read ahead, see what's coming. This amazing depth at which when we partner with Christ, when we allow him to do through us what we cannot do on our own, he does amazing and beautiful things through us. And that's a part of the mission, okay? Explaining this mystery. Verse 9, I didn't put it in my notes. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept hidden from the beginning. And we're not going to spend too much time on this because the great reveal was what we spent the entire message last week talking about. For ages, God's plan to unite all people, the Jews, the original people of God, with the Gentiles, all of us, was a mystery. Now, it is our job as insiders, as adopted sons and daughters, to be explainers, right? The invitation, the doors stand wide open. Our job is to proclaim it, to tell about it, to be witnesses of it, as I said earlier. So clarity, bringing clarity in a confusing world. In this world of competing truths, right, there's a lot of them out there, the church has the mandate to explain the Creator's original intent for humanity. We have knowledge. We have the truth. And so what are a few of these? In the beginning, God. Right? You go back to the very beginning. It all started with God. Even before the beginning, God had a plan. But in the beginning, God created. He created all things. He created you and me. And then, at the right time, that's the wording we use from Ephesians, right? At the right time, God sent Jesus. When the world maybe was ready or not, I don't know. It was God's timing, so it had to be perfect. But at the right time, God sent Jesus so that we could have a restored relationship with God through faith in him. And that's spelled out, God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, so that you may have eternal life now by believing in him. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The kingdom is at hand, right? That was Jesus' basic message, is the kingdom is available. It's right here. All you have to do is reach out and take it. Remember when Jesus, the Son, swung the doors wide open to the kingdom, and anyone may come. Whosoever will, whoever decides to, may come. You will find the kingdom of God by trusting Jesus. You will find the kingdom of God by trusting Jesus, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and then acting on it, right? Acting with him as he works in your life, because knowledge is interactive relationship. And we're going to talk a whole lot more over the coming weeks and months about our knowledge, what we know, and how that impacts and changes our lives. So for application here, it's telling his story, right? This is the story of good news, the story of creation, the story of Jesus, right? Learning to tell people Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So you're telling his story, but at the same time, you're telling your story. Because it's just as important for all of these millions of people who grope in darkness, who are in the grasp of darkness, for you to bring the light. We bring the light of the word, but we also explain how it impacts us. And if you came to faith a long time ago, people need to hear how the Lord is impacting your life right now. What is God doing actively in your life right now? And if you can't explain that, have a conversation with the Lord and ask him how. We are a people of the light. We have a story to tell. People need to hear it. They need to know what we know. They need to experience what you and I have experienced in knowledge with God. Because we are his witnesses, right? A witness is someone who tells what they know, what they saw, what they experienced, right? You and I are his witnesses. And then number four is the purpose. A display for the cosmos. This comes from verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Right? And when we say the church, look around. Okay, it's you and me. It's us together. We are the church. We're the local church, right? We're not the universal church, but we're a part of this big, bold, amazing universal church. Anyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is a part of that entity. But God, his purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in all its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the church as God's exhibit A, we, IBC Madrid, are the living proof of God's wisdom. When we love across culture, language, and backgrounds, the unseen rulers take notice, right? We have power. And when we come together and practice fellowship and love and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, all of those fruit, right? The world and the unseen world also notices. In 2 Peter 3:18, he writes, "Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grace is God's acting in our lives to accomplish what we can't accomplish on our own. And that's another quote from Dallas, but it's probably the most powerful one that I've ever read. Grace is God acting in your life to accomplish what you cannot accomplish on your own, right? This beautiful partnership that you have with Jesus is the same partnership that you and I have with Jesus, right? We're in Trinitarian union with each other as we're in union with God and Christ, right? And we're working together to understand this rich variety. God's wisdom isn't a single note. It's a symphony of song and sound and life and experience. It's played out in and through you and me together in this beautiful symphony. The diversity of our congregation is exactly what displays his multifaceted wisdom, when you think about it, right? I've talked about we're tapestry. That was the word I was missing. My mind went to stained glass window, because we are, right? We're little pieces of glass in a stained glass window that when the light shines through, God's love, it's a beautiful display to the world, right? Same thing with the tapestry. Your life is a thread that goes through God's plan for us and for his world. So what? Our unity and our service are not just for us. They are a witness to the entire spiritual realm that God's plan from the beginning, fulfilled through Jesus Christ, is working 2,000 years later through us, in us, around us, by us, for us. Right? We are his body, his bride. He's at work in and through us, even today, calling people to himself. So as a way of conclusion and call to action, I want to say that serving the Lord is a privilege and an honor. I would say it's the highest calling in life, right? The most important thing that you and I can ever do is serve our Lord. The privilege is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the endless treasures available through him. We, you and I, the church, have been chosen to display God's wisdom and plan to the world and to all of creation and all of the cosmos, as the word is telling us. So some thoughts. Reevaluate your service. I'm asking you to think about your service. Do you see your role in the church as a chore or as a privilege? Are you serving in a capacity that blesses others? Second is access to the treasure. Are you living like a spiritual pauper, right? An orphan still on the outside? Or are you living in the abundance of these endless treasures that are available to us in Jesus Christ? And then the last thought is be the display. Commit this week. I want to challenge you to try to find some way this week to one act of service that displays God's wisdom to someone who doesn't yet know him. And you're not doing it alone. Ask for help. Jesus, who do you want me to love this week? Is there anyone in my network of associates, friends, neighbors, people that I can share the good news with? Maybe not the full blown presentation, though that would be wonderful, but just a kind word, a witness, a question. Do you know God loves you? Have you ever met Jesus? Right? Because most of the people we know of this guy called Jesus, but they don't know him. And our job, our task, is to introduce Jesus to the world. Right? It's really that simple. So I end with, we are to be a servant people. Your service begins from now. Because as you go, right, as you go about your day, as you go about your week, you are my witness, he says. Make disciples. Share the love that you've been given. Reveal this mystery. Don't keep it to yourself. Okay? Let's stand for our closing prayer and our song of dedication. Father, thank you for this amazing mystery that we have in you. Thank you that you have blown open the doors and anyone in this world, anyone who has ever lived, can confess your name, can trust in you, can come to you in faith. And Lord, you could reveal yourself to the whole world. It would be so easy for you. But you've chosen us, the least, to be your vessels, to be the individuals who carry your spirit and take your spirit with us to our place of work or to the store or to school. And Lord, you've given us the privilege to tell people about you. Help us to take that seriously. Help us to be the kind of disciples who regularly and easily just share how much you love us. What a great message. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.